From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 7, 2017. And on this day, an investigation of the Lewiston School Department finds it's routinely violating students' civil rights. And misunderstanding of the new minimum wage law is causing confusion and consternation when it comes to tipping servers. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
The Maine Education Association is vowing to push back against newly confirmed U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. As Patty White reports, the MEA's concern is that DeVos will weaken public schools.
MEA President Lois Kilby Chesley says the confirmation of Betsy DeVos poses a direct threat to public schools because the new education secretary favors charter schools.
Those sorts of things really aren't meant to equalize education. Those are meant to stratify. And so one of the things that we believe is that public education is the great equalizer, and that every child should be given a chance to have a great public education.
Kilby Chesley says her organization is working with others within the National Education Association to create a watchdog group and a plan to resist DeVos's policies. The MEA and others criticized DeVos in the weeks leading up to her confirmation because of her lack of experience in public education.
She didn't go to public schools. Her kids didn't go to public schools. She's never been a teacher or an administrator. She's never been on a school board.
But DeVos's supporters see that as an asset and have confidence that the new head of the Department of Education will empower states and parents by giving them more of a choice in their children's education. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Maine Supreme Judicial Court has accepted the legislature's request to explore the constitutionality of a dramatic election overhaul approved by voters in November. Steve Missler has more.
The court released a schedule for written and oral arguments on Tuesday. The briefing schedule is a response to a request by the Maine Senate last week to have the court review the legality of ranked choice voting. In November, voters approved ranked choice voting for congressional, legislative, and gubernatorial races, making Maine the first state to swap its plurality election system for one in which voters rank candidates in order of preference. Last week, the Senate voted 24-10 to ask the court whether that system is legal under the Maine Constitution. Advocates for ranked choice voting protested the vote, arguing that the new system is now law. But lawmakers countered that the court should review it before the state spends money to implement ranked choice voting and to avoid legal battles over election results. Initial briefs are due by March 3rd and responses later in the month. Oral arguments are scheduled for April 13th. Over 52% of Maine voters approved of the change in November. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A two-year investigation of the Lewiston School Department by Disability Rights Maine, Pine Tree Legal Assistance, and the ACLU of Maine has uncovered what the groups say are violations of federal civil rights and disabilities law. They point to data that show students of color and students with disabilities are far more likely to be disciplined and to receive inadequate support and necessary services as are other students. But the Lewiston school superintendent says the data are old and possibly inaccurate. Susan Sharon has details.
The group's investigation included analysis of 2013-2014 data produced by the Lewiston School Department itself. Among other things, it appears to show that students with disabilities were more than three times as likely to be suspended from school as those who do not have disabilities, and Black students were nearly twice as likely to be suspended as their white classmates.
There are clear disparities for race and for disability status in the way that students are disciplined.
And Zach Hayden of the ACLU of Maine says that's a problem, not just for students, but for the Lewiston School Department. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act and Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act prohibit government practices that have the effect of discriminating by race and/or disability. In addition, Hayden says there are no teachers of color in Lewiston schools.
Over and over again, when we talked to students and parents, one thing came out, which was the concern that students could go through the entire school system in Lewiston and never have a teacher of color. They could go through an entire kindergarten through 12th grade and never have a teacher who is of Somali descent. And in a community with such a large Somali population, that's disturbing.
Lewiston School Superintendent William Webster acknowledges that there is a shortage of minority teachers in the district. There are some African-American ed techs, he says, but finding and recruiting teachers of color has been difficult. Despite that challenge, Webster is proud of the way the schools are working with students whose first language is not English. They're known as English Language Learners, or ELL students. And Webster says their graduation rate now exceeds that of non-ELL students, something not reflected in the 2013 data.
Our schools today are so different than just 3 years ago. We have had in excess of 100 newcomers a year for a number of years, and last year it had actually hit 250. And we are have increased our educators, our ed techs, our programming. We're building a new school, and it's very discouraging for something based on three-year-old data to be making these allegations.
Atlee Riley, managing attorney for the group Disability Rights Maine, says the groups didn't rely solely on data. They also met with students and parents who described similar experiences. For example, one of the complaints is that the school district lacks adequate resources for screening students with limited English for disabilities. Another is that those performing the assessments don't speak any languages other than English. Riley says it doesn't appear to be part of an intentional effort to discriminate, but combined with the disparate rates of discipline by race and disability status, he says that is the effect.
And what we saw in some cases was you'd have students who may have been in the district 5, 6, 7, 8 years, may have been, you know, involved in over 100 referrals to the office or suspensions or sent home, but still there had been no evaluation to determine if they had a disability and were in need of special education services.
The groups have written a letter asking the Lewiston School Department to ensure that qualified interpreters are available to speak to parents, develop strategies to eliminate race and disability disparities in school discipline, and to invest in disability screening technology for Somali and other non-native students. Lewiston Superintendent William Webster says he'll review the request and the information with his attorneys and decide on the appropriate response. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For decades, waiters and waitresses in Maine restaurants have relied upon a standard etiquette for tips, 15% to 20% depending on the quality of the service and the food. But some in the industry say that time-honored practice is now being ignored by many customers now that Maine has a new minimum wage law. And as A.J. Higgins reports, they want that law changed.
During the first weeks that followed Maine's implementation of a higher minimum wage, Amber McIntyre thought her tips seemed to be a little off and in the wrong direction. The waitress at Pepino's Mexican restaurant on Park Street in Bangor says she speculated as to why until she heard from one of her customers.
I had one table in particular a couple of weeks ago who left me $5.65 and said to each other, "Why are you tipping her? She's making $12 an hour now."
That, of course, is not true. The new minimum wage law did bump up McIntyre's wage from $3.75 an hour to $5. And for tipped workers, that wage rises by a dollar an hour every year until it hits $12. McIntyre harbors serious doubts about whether she'll be able to survive that long as a waitress if her tips continue to decline. She's hoping lawmakers in Augusta can make changes to the citizen initiative approved by voters last fall that will put her tips back on track.
I do believe that any person who works full-time deserves pay for food and housing. I'm 100% in favor of raising the minimum wage to $12 an hour. I do not believe that servers should have been included in that.
McIntyre and others would like tipped workers exempted from the law and restored to the status quo tipping system. She's one of nearly 4,000 supporters who have signed on to a social media site called Restaurant Workers of Maine.
When you look at our wages plus our tips, we are among the best paid positions in a restaurant. And when you force my employer to give me an unnecessary raise, you're literally taking money that she could be using to pay the back of the house a higher rate and forcing her to give it to me when I don't need it.
Restaurant operators such as Susan Stevenson, who co-owns Pepino's in Bangor, say they've had to adjust their prices to address the increased costs of doing business after the minimum wage hike.
So far, you know, I think most businesses have gone up on their prices a little bit. I think 5% is standard to cover payroll costs. You know, we've had to give some of our servers $1.25 per hour raise.
But that's just to start. Stevenson says that if the tipped wage is allowed to continue rising by $1 a year for the next 7 years, it will be difficult for many restaurants to keep their doors open as they choose between cutting back on serving hours or increasing menu prices. But Mike Tipping, a spokesman for the Mainers for Fair Wages group that supported passage of the minimum wage, says he doesn't believe some of the stories he's hearing from owners or the servers.
That hasn't happened anywhere else. The tipped wage has been increased. Tips are higher in the 7 states in the country that have no sub-minimum wage.
Tipping says he can't understand why McIntyre and servers like her would be experiencing declining tips. He wonders whether restaurant owners are trying to influence their employees on the issue.
It's pretty ridiculous, but when your boss comes and tells you that, obviously it's concerning to you. I think it's really unfortunate that they've been spreading that kind of misinformation.
But Republican State Representative Stacey Gurin of Glenburn says tipping doesn't have a good handle on tipping. Gurin and her family operate a restaurant and cooking supply company in Bangor. She says the report she's getting from her customers and constituents sound very much like what's happening at Pepino's.
What I'm hearing is that they're leaving like a couple bucks with their bill. They're not even looking at the percentage anymore. They want to leave something, so they leave a couple dollars, which is a nightmare for a server. I was a waitress in college. Oh, I wouldn't have been happy to lose my tips.
Gurin says she will be one of the lawmakers who will try to repeal the tip credit portion of the minimum wage in the weeks ahead at the State House. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And that's This Day in Maine on Wednesday, February 7th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.